Amen. The book of Joshua, chapter number 19, verse number 47 tonight. And the coast of the children of Dan went out too little for them. Therefore the children of Dan went up to fight against Lisham, and took it and smote it with the edge of the sword, and possessed it, and dwelt therein, and called Lisham Dan, after the name of their father. Notice it says, and the coast of the children of Dan went out too little for them. Then the book of Judges, chapter 18. Book of Judges, chapter 18, and verse number 1. In those days there was no king in Israel. And in those days the tribe of the Danites sought them an inheritance to dwell in. For unto that day all their inheritance had not fallen unto them among the tribes of Israel. Praise God. I want to preach tonight, and it just seemed like the Lord gave me this message this afternoon to start this revival off with, and I just hope he helps me feel as good as I was feeling about it this afternoon. Amen. But I want to preach on oceans of opportunity tonight. Oceans of opportunity. Reading in the Word of God about the children of Israel and how that they had conquered the land of Canaan. God had brought them, we know the story, through the wilderness for 40 years. They had wandered. At the end of that time, God brought them again to the brink. He had done it 40 years earlier at Kadesh Barnea. And he sent out spies, but they came back 10 with an evil report, only 2 with a good report. Now 40 years has gone by. And they are now at the place where they are conquering that land. They've came across the Jordan. Jericho has failed. Little by little, God has brought them into this promised land. They're now drinking water from wells they had not digged. They're eating from the trees that they had not planted. Little by little, they're beginning to possess and take the land and drive out the inhabitants. And now it is, I guess you would say, farther enough along until it becomes time to sit down and to draw out the borders and to divide the land. And each of those 12 tribes would receive a portion that would be their inheritance for them and for their children and for the generations to come. And as Joshua begins to sit down and divide up this land by the towns and by the borders and draw out those lines. We read in this 19th chapter that he comes to the tribe of Dan. And I notice this afternoon it says that the 7th lot came out of the tribe of the children of Dan. So we know that they could not divide all these lots up, as to say at the same time they had to start somewhere. I can see as Joshua sat down with that first tribe and begin to lay out their borders and begin to tell them how much land they would have and where they would dwell. He came to the next tribe and to the next tribe. And finally it came down to the tribe of Dan. Dan was the second largest tribe, smaller only than Judah in population. It was in my study this afternoon, if I got it right, they did a census at the end of the 40 years as they were getting ready and beginning to take this land. And there was about 68,000 that was listed in that census of men that was able to fight. And that would have made them the second largest in population. And so I can just see Dan as they begin to think, and they begin to look at these other tribes, and they begin to see their borders and how much land they're receiving. About maybe a half of the tribes have now received their inheritance, and there's a large lot of land left. 2 of the biggest portions was yet to be given out. So it was a large piece of property that was still left. Dan, the tribe of Dan, is probably already in their mind estimating how great their inheritance will be and how much land they will have. And they're just really stretching it out in their minds. Stay with me just a little while. But you see, the thing about it was, when it came to that seventh tribe of Dan, and he began to give out the inheritance, the response was a lot different than they thought. Amen. They gave them, out of the 12 tribes, the smallest piece of land out of all of the tribes. They were second largest in population, but they gave them the second or the smallest piece of property for an inheritance that any of the tribes received. And I read to you where their response, the coast of the children of Dan went out, too little for them. And it was just today I've preached around these scriptures on a different message at other times, but when I read this today, it went out too little for them. And I've always just kind of went over that and preached that it was too T-O, small for them. But here in the Bible, it's spelled T-O-O, which means and or also. So you could read it, Dan, their inheritance went out and little for them. Not too little. Is that important? Do you realize that when God gives you a talent, when God gives you a calling, when God gives you an ability, when God begins to set your life for a course, amen, He never makes a mistake. You may look at one and say, I believe they've got more than they can handle. And you might look at another and say, I believe they could handle a whole lot more. But here, the way it was worded, and he said his inheritance went out and little for them. For their size, yes, it was little. But you see, God knew what they could handle. God knew their ability. And a lot of times, amen, folks get so worried and caught up in, have I got as much as somebody else? Come on here now. We live in a society that's so worried about discrimination and being fair. We got to have everything fair. I preached a message some time ago on God is not fair. Amen. I got some looks. But you see, the thing about it is, the way we view fairness, we think because we do something for one, we've got to do it for another, or it's not fair. But God doesn't work on fairness as far as we view fairness. He works in justice and in truth. If I tell my children, if you clean this up, I'll give you $5 a piece, and two of them works hard and gets it done, and the third one plays and just has a good time, payday rolls around, I go to handing out the $5, I don't give them none. Well, what are they going to say? That ain't fair. You gave them $5, but you didn't give me $5. That ain't fair. But you see, the stipulation to that was you've got to meet this standard before I give you this reward. And so Dan, amen, is looking at it from the view of this is not fair. We didn't get as much land and we've got more people. Look at these smaller tribes and all that they have. We want a recount, amen. We want you to reconsider it. They got upset. We want to know why our portion is so small. I begin to look into this today. You realize that the tribe of Dan, the piece of property that they were given, when you begin to study that piece of property, it was probably the most fertile piece of soil in Canaan. On one side of it was a mountain. And on the other side of it was the sea, the Mediterranean Sea. On both sides of it was neighboring tribes. So it was very well protected and fortified. Not only was it well protected, but because of that mountain, all of the soil and the minerals would wash down to the base of it, and it had some of the most fertile soil. They had an opportunity to build or to grow crops. They had an opportunity to have a good defense set up against the Philistines and all their enemies. Not only that, a major trade route would come right through there. They had opportunity for commerce. But above all of that, amen, there was an ocean of opportunity. Amen, right there, amen, on the banks of their coastline was the great Mediterranean Sea, full of opportunities to bring in fish, amen, by the shipload, to bring in things of trade from other countries, even to build military vessels for a naval defense. I mean, there was all type of opportunities before them. But instead of looking at what they could do for God, instead of looking at what they could possess and what they could take, they got focused on one thing: what I don't have. I wish I could preach like I feel tonight. I'm talking about a revival, amen, where we would just really begin to get our eyes open and see there is an ocean of opportunity before us in this meeting. Praise God. Amen. All the things that were set before them, but yet they were complaining about what they did not have, but not taking advantage of what they did have. Have you ever seen people like that? Amen. Brother McDonald, Brother Russell McDonald says they'll grasp if their ice cream's cold. Amen. I mean, you can't please them. Amen. Nothing ever sits with them just right. But you see, the thing about it, amen, is if God has given you something, amen, do what God has given you. Work within the ability God has given you. You don't start out building a house by building the roof first. No. You say, well, right down the road they got a beautiful house and they're up there putting the roof on it, and it's just not fair. I want a roof on my house, and you haven't even got a footing dug. There is a process of building. And in working for God, too many people want to be like a wasp. They want to come out of the nest full grown and flying. But there is a process. You got to start out with what God gives you. Prove yourself faithful in that, and then He'll move you up a level. Prove yourself faithful in that, He'll move you up a level. Amen. But oh, listen. Amen. When you're not taking advantage of the blessings God's give you and the opportunities God's laid before you, amen, you're going to get discouraged. You're going to start finding fault with others that God are blessing. And before long, you're going to be like Dan, amen, and be grumbling and griping and not even taking advantage of what you got. You see the thing about it, this ocean of opportunity. One scripture, Psalms 107 and verse 23 said, "They that go down to the sea in ships, they do business in great waters." Praise God. Amen. "They see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep." Praise God. When you get off of the land and you launch out into the sea, and you begin to go out and try to do something for God, amen, you can accomplish and do great things, amen, for Him. Don't focus on what you cannot do, but begin to focus on what you can do. I can't preach like so-and-so. I can't sing like so-and-so. I can't teach like this one. I cannot speak well before crowds. Amen. Every one of us could make a list of what we feel like that we cannot do. But the more we look at that list, the more we add to it, the more discouraged we get. The more we want to have a pity party and feel like we can't do anything for God. But tear up that list of what you cannot do and begin to make a list of what you can do. Begin to say, oh, there is a whole ocean of opportunity lying before me. Amen. And I want to launch out into it. God gave Dan what they could handle. But you see, their childishness. cause them to fail to even possess the little bit of land that they have. Did not I read to you in Judges chapter number 18 where it said that the tribe of the Danites sought them an inheritance to dwell in, for unto that day all their inheritance had not fallen unto them among the tribes of Israel. Here they are saying, we don't have enough land, and they have not even possessed the land they have. Hey, amen, they got so tired of fighting against their enemy and being defeated. Hey, amen, they got so tired of the crops failing because they were too lazy to work in the fields. It wasn't the soil's fault. They got so tired of living from, hey, amen, can to can't. Hey, amen, with all the opportunity to prosper and to do something for God was before them until they literally relocated. They sold out. They moved to the furthest northern extreme and they relocated. They conquered a city, Lisham, which was a city the Bible said that dwelt without magistrate. In other words, they didn't have an army. They didn't have a defense. They just went in and kind of took over and they called, they changed the name of it and called the name of that city Dan. Amen, but that still did not change the fact that God had gave them an inheritance. He had gave them a portion, but they did not take what God had gave them. Praise God. Sometimes God gets to dealing with people about His will. And if you're not careful in your flight from the will of God, you'll end up running somewhere that you don't need to be. And they would relocate. Praise God. All the opportunities that was before them. There in the, on the sea of the Mediterranean Sea, they had an opportunity to build ports. Hey man, they could have built massive seaports. Hey man, that the ships from other countries, from Tarshish, barren, precious things, gold and ivory, that could have come into their ports. And they could have been known as was Tyre and other great trade cities. Oh, for their great ports and for their great... But no, hey man, they just wanted to cross their arms and say, we didn't get enough land. And so we're going to go on strike just to show the rest of Israel how upset we are that we didn't get as much as some of the others got. We're just not going to build a port. There's a whole ocean of opportunity before you. And if you'd begin to rise up, hey man, and say, Lord, I'm going to launch out. Hey man, I'm going to do something for you. This week, hey man, I want to have revival in my life. I want to launch out and grab a hold of things, God, that seems like they've been beyond my reach. Seems like I hadn't been able to get to them. But oh Lord, I want to do everything I can. They didn't build ships. Bible has no recording of them building any ships that they could set sail. Amen. And sail out into the Mediterranean. They didn't build an army. Amen. They could have had the greatest navy. Amen. In military history. I know God would have favored them if they would have built an Israeli navy. I know God would have favored them and protected them as long as they stayed in God's will. Amen. But no. Amen. Oh, they failed to see these things. Lord, let me see in this revival the ocean of opportunity that lies before me. If you're saved, then you know this week there will be an opportunity to get sanctified. If you're saved and sanctified, this week there will be an opportunity to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. If you're saved and sanctified and got the Holy Ghost, there will be an opportunity in this meeting for the gifts of the Spirit to begin to work in your life. Amen. It's all left up to you. Either you can complain, amen, about what you don't have, or you can say, this is going to be a week that I possess, that I take, that I build, that I go after what I need from God. Isaiah 42 and 10, sing unto the Lord a new song, ye that go down to the sea. Praise God. You talking about, amen, singing a new song. Amen, rejoicing. Amen, you go down to the sea and you do commerce in great waters and you begin to be blessed by God. Amen, you'll be able to sing under an anointing. You'll be able to write songs. Amen, from the depths of your heart and from the experiences that God does in your life. You see, there was Peter and Andrew and James and John. They had toiled in Luke chapter 5 all night, but they had taken nothing. They were tired, they were wore out, and they came in. The Bible said they began to mend their nets. And as they're mending their nets, Jesus comes down to that Sea of Galilee. He boards Peter's ship, bids him to thrust out just a little where he could teach the people. Amen. Whole time he's teaching the people, he was teaching Peter too. See, Peter had already went. Andrew had already went and got Peter, and they'd done spent at least one day with the Lord. He'd heard him preach and speak. Conviction was on his heart. And now here Jesus invades his ship. Comes right in where he is, begins to teach the people, and in a little while, he gets through and he turns around to Peter and he says to him, launch out into the deep. Let down your nets into the deep for a draught. Amen. Launch out into the deep. Peter's first response is, Lord, we've toiled. We've worked. We've sweated. These men were not novice fishermen. They earned their living by the sea. They knew the tides. They knew the setting of the moon. They knew the places to go. They knew it all. And he said, we've toiled all night. Amen. And we have taken nothing. Amen. But I like it. The fact he didn't finish it right there. But he said, nevertheless, if thy word. Amen. Could I get somebody in this revival this week? Amen. That cry out, nevertheless. Praise God. I've tried, amen, to get help from the Lord. I've tried to do something for God, but it seems like I've failed. What can I tell you? That every time you fail, it teaches you, amen, one thing that does not work, and you're one step closer to success. Failure is not the end, but it is just simply a tool of learning. Amen. Oh, I know people that God have put a call on their life to work maybe with a choir or to work in some other outreach or some other way. After a few months, the fire began to leave them. The trouble would come up. There might be disagreements or whatever it might be. And before long, it'd fall between the cracks. And the choir would quit rehearsing. And the nursing home service would go down. And the jail service would shut down. Amen. Oh, why? Amen. Are these things happening? Amen. Sometimes these failures and, amen, hurt feelings, flaws, whatever they might be, they cause you to draw back from the very will of God. But I like it when Peter said, I've already tried it and I failed. But nevertheless, amen, if thy word, I believe I'll try it one more time. Amen. I believe I'll lead the choir again. I believe I'll teach one more time. I believe I'd preach it again, preacher. Amen. What's happening? There is an ocean of opportunity before you. Peter, launch out into the deep. Amen. He said, at thy word. Amen. Come on, Andrew. We're going fishing. Praise God. They got out in that sea. Amen. All of a sudden they started pulling on them nets. They started pulling them fish in. They had to call for their partners, James and John. They brought them over and they filled both ships up with fish until they were starting to sink. Hey man, you know what changed that whole picture? What turned it all around? As Peter looked back over that ocean one more time. Hey man, maybe Jesus was saying, Peter, there's still fish in the sea. Hey man, I remember fishing way back down in Florida several years ago. My wife's grandparents had a pond. And I went out there one morning. I asked them, could I fish in it? They said, yeah, you can, but there's no fish in it. Said, it's just an old farm pond for the cows to drink out of. Said, we never stocked it. There's no fish in it. Been there for several years. I said, well, I just want to go throw a line in it. Amen. Well, I went down there that morning early by daylight and threw out my bait and began to fish. A little bit, I caught about a 2-pound bass. I kept on fishing. Before long, I had 12 nice bass and 12 big brim and 3 big nice catfish. Hey, man, that's about 2 hours of fishing. Hey, man, I come toting them back up to the house. About the time they's all crawling out of bed, they said, where'd you get those? I said, I got them from that pond down there. There ain't no fish in that pond. I said, well, these was there. Amen. I don't know if there's any more down there. Amen. That evening, you'd look out there around that pond. There's about 6 or 7 people lined up around the banks. Amen. Throwing their lines in. Amen. I tell you how revival will start. Amen. When you get in that ocean of opportunity and you start coming back to the church saying, I prayed them through at the hospital. And they said, amen. Amen. Somebody else will say, I believe I'll try that. I believe I'll take my line. I believe I'll witness to my lost uncle. I believe I'll run down to the nursing home. I believe I'll talk to my neighbor. But it all starts with somebody saying, let's try it again. Praise God. And whole ocean of opportunity was before Dan. But the question is, what will you do for the opportunity that's before you? Dan failed to possess the land. They failed to cultivate the soil. They failed to take advantage of the ocean. They begin to lose interest in that piece of property. They lost interest. The next thing they did, when you lose interest in church, you'll start missing church. They relocated. They moved to the, as I said, the northern extremes, found them a new place, changed the name of it, and said, this will be home. They lost interest. The next thing happened, they lost their identity. They got up there. They began to mix with Ephraim, which had joined itself to idols. They began to pick them up a false priest, a false prophet of the sons of the prophet to be their priest. They hired him. They brought him in. They began to forsake Shiloh. They began to forsake the support of the ministry. Amen. They began to lose their discipline in dress. Come on, say amen. Amen. They began to lose their discipline in the things they ate, in their diet, in everything God had commanded them. In the Levitical law to do, amen, they trampled it all under feet. They lost their identity. Then in Revelation chapter 7, the Lord begins to talk about the tribes of Israel. The 144,000, 12,000 from each tribe. And He names each tribe. 12,000 from Judah. 12,000 from Simeon. He goes down. Read Revelation chapter 7 when you get home tonight. Hallelujah. Real close. There is no mention of the tribe of Dan. They lost their interest. They lost their identity. Then they lost their inheritance. And I want to tell you tonight, God's got an ocean of opportunity before you. But if you keep looking out at that ocean and just
being in that spirit that the devil will try to get us in, of being complacent and complaining about what we don't have, before long you're going to lose interest in what you're doing. Before long you're going to find greener grass somewhere else. And before long you're going to be part of this last day apostasy that's headed in the wrong direction. Amen. But there is an ocean of opportunity before you tonight. All because they wouldn't take the little opportunities and build on them to establish themselves in God. They lost what they could have had. You want to preach hundreds to hundreds? Start with four or five. Amen. You want to sing at Bristow? Start singing in the nursing home. Come on now. You want to win multitudes to Christ? Start with your neighbor. Oh, help me a little bit. I'm talking about an opportunity, an ocean of opportunity that is before you. Hey, man, you probably heard this. I'm going to tell this little illustration. We'll give you a chance to pray tonight. The story's been told over and over about the young man that was walking down on the seashore. The storm had came in and washed those starfish all up on the bank. And this little boy, this young man, was walking out through there. He would pick up a starfish. He'd look at it, and he'd throw it back out in the ocean. As far as you could see up that seashore, thousands and thousands of starfish washed up by that storm, that they would soon die, laying there out in the sun to be bleached out and to die. He was just going through there every now and then. He'd pick up one, throw it out in the ocean. One man got to watching him and finally made his way down there to where he was. And he said to him, he said, "Son," he said, "what are you doing?" "Well, I'm taking these starfish. They're going to die. I'm picking them up and I'm throwing them back out in the ocean, saving their life." The man said, "Son, look up this seashore both ways." He said, "There's untold thousands of those starfish, and said, "There is no way that you're going to be able to save them all." He just picked up another one, throwed it out in the ocean. He said, "Did you hear me?" He said, "What difference does it make if you just save just a few of them?" He picked one up and he said, "Sir, you see this starfish?" He said, "This starfish, it makes all the difference in the world." And he threw it out in the ocean. Can I tell you, there's an ocean of opportunity before you. You might not win thousands, but to your neighbor, it may make a difference if you win one. Amen. There is an ocean of opportunity before us. Would you stand to your feet tonight? Praise God. I want to ask you tonight, not what you cannot do, but what can you do? Not what is impossible, but what is possible. God isn't calling you tonight to do something that's beyond your ability. He'll never call you unless He equips you. Whatever He's got before you right now, are you being faithful in it? Are you looking at that ocean before you and saying, "God, help me to launch out into the deep one more time. I've been a little discouraged. Lord, I've pulled my nets in. I've mended them, put them away." But the Lord's saying there's an ocean full of fish. Amen. There's opportunities before you if you'll just launch out into the deep. Amen. If you'll just launch out into the deep. I want to give you a chance to pray. Amen. Tonight. Amen. Let's pray together before we come to the altar. Precious God of heaven, Lord, we thank You for the Spirit of the Lord that we feel tonight. God, I feel like You're speaking to hearts right here at the beginning onset of this meeting. God, You're bringing memories back. You're bringing, God, a stir to the souls, God, in this congregation. And I'm asking You, Lord, meet with us in this altar. Give us a good season of prayer. Help our eyes to look out across that ocean and see what we might do for the Lord. Move for us in Jesus' name. Let's come, everybody that would. Let's find us a place to pray. Let's have a good season of prayer. Amen. Let's spend some time in the altar tonight. Amen. Is there an ocean before you of opportunity? Oh, don't look around at what you can't do, how things might be unfair. But oh, look way out in the distance, the things God got in store for you. Let's seek the Lord a little while. Oh, let's pray and seek God. That's right. That's right. Let's pray and seek the Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, God, give us revival this week, Jesus. Give us souls. God, give us revival.